Let's turn in God's Word to the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 3. Gospel of Matthew in chapter 3. This morning we're going to be reading verses 1 through 12. Matthew 3, verses 1 through 12. Our focus will be on the first four verses. I will read through verse 12. Let's go first to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Father, again we're thankful for Christ and His sacrifice on the cross, in which He came to the cross in union with our sin, that our sin would be dealt with, our guilt would be covered by His blood. He, the righteous one who deserved it not, but we deserved it. And yet there, no one to help. And He pleading to You, the Father. Because of our sin. And Father, now we come to Your Word in a passage that deals again with our sin. And plead that You would turn us from our sins and turn us unto You in Christ Your Son by the Holy Spirit, that we would live and not die. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. These are God's words. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." And those are God's words. This morning we come to a passage that introduces to us John the Baptist, and more specifically John the Baptizer. It's describing what he does. John the Baptizer. But of John the Baptist, we'll say, John 5:35, Jesus says, "He was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in His light." Jesus says that about John the Baptist. And none have ever been praised like this by the King and head of the church, Jesus Christ, but John. In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus says of him, "Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." And we see in verse 1 that John the Baptist was a preacher. He came preaching. And that's the first point and the only point this morning. Preaching repentance. Preaching repentance. This is the same John the Baptist who leapt in the womb of the mother, his mother, in the presence of Jesus, who at the time was also in the womb of Mary, there in Luke chapter 1. Now we left off in last Lord's Day, at the end of chapter 2, Joseph and Mary, with their son Jesus, their baby, the toddler, had come to reside in Nazareth in Galilee. And it's many years later now, and we come to Matthew chapter 3. And we do not have in Matthew's Gospel the account of Jesus going up when he was 12 years old to Jerusalem for the Passover. But we come to when Jesus is now around 30 years old, John the same age. And this testifies first to us that for much of the 30 years of Jesus' life, the incarnate Lord of heaven and earth, Jesus Christ, hid himself. Hid himself. Isaiah 45 says of the Lord, "Verily thou art a God that hidest thyself, O God of Israel, the Savior." In Genesis 28, "And Jacob awaked out of his sleep and said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." How often we feel the same, that it seems the Lord is not present and yet is always here. Like in the Song of Solomon, the bridegroom, Jesus Christ looking upon the bride, the church, while not really revealing himself. And the bride declares this. He says, or the bride says, "My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice." And yet he's partially hidden. He can't be fully seen. He's not coming to the bride. He's standing behind the wall, looking through the window at her. And so it is for almost all of that first 30 years. Jesus practically hidden. And there is here at the beginning of this chapter a testifying of the ministry of John the Baptist. We see in verse 1 it says, "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea." Again, he's preaching. He's a preacher. And what are true preachers but those who are called by the Lord to preach? In those days that is wherein this prophecy of verse 3 would be fulfilled. In those days, right before Jesus would begin his public ministry that would lead to his death on the cross for his people. In the context, in those days, while Jesus was in Nazareth, he's still there at the beginning of chapter 3 till verse 13, until he comes up from Galilee, up from Nazareth to Judea. In those days, John the Baptist was preaching. It was John's duty to prepare for the coming of Christ. And so we see here that preaching is the ordinary way to prepare souls for receiving Jesus Christ. Preaching is the ordinary way to prepare souls for receiving Jesus Christ. We also notice here in verse 1 that it's the Lord's choice to send preachers that He has called to preach the gospel to the locations that He desires, that the Lord desires, that He wills. It's not my choice. It's not any other preacher's choice. God calls preachers to particular locations where He wills, where He desires. If you're going to send a preacher to prepare for Christ, where would you send him? You would send him to Jerusalem. To start preaching there, right? Well, not the Lord. He called and sent John to preach in the wilderness of Judea. You understand that he sent John to preach in the middle of nowhere, in the wilderness. Not to go into the city, but to go into the country, into the wilderness. But there's not many people there, you say. Why would the Lord send him there? Why go preach there? Because God called him to go preach there. That's what we know. Because that's where God called him to go preach. And where God calls preachers to go, they better go. Like Jonah, he was called to go to Nineveh. And he tried fleeing. He tried fleeing from the preaching to the Ninevites because they were Gentiles. Did not work out so well for him, did it? And he ended up preaching to the Ninevites anyway. The Lord sends preachers to where they need to be. And that's something we need to realize, as most of you are often the recipients of sitting under the preaching of a preacher, and you're hearing him every Lord's Day, generally speaking. That first and most important, the Lord called that man, whoever that preacher is, and wherever you go in that time, and you're going to church and you're worshiping, whoever that preacher is, He's called that preacher to preach at that time. No matter his strengths and weaknesses, He called that man to be your pastor and your preacher. And so we are to be, first off, content in the Lord's provision for you. And this is our God shepherding you with an under-shepherd. And what does the Lord say as we're looking in prayer meeting? Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. There will be no lacking when the Lord is our shepherd. No want. And the Lord provides for you everything you need physically and spiritually according to His will. And second, you either agreed to God's calling the preacher to this church, or assented to it by joining in membership of this church. Or you sit here, Lord's Day after Lord's Day, in submission to the Lord under this preacher. And so most of you have taken vows to this effect. And so again, the need to pay our vows. He calls us to pay your vows, but so to be content with those who are your preachers. Isaiah 41. It says, when the poor and needy seek water and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar, the shittah tree, and the myrtle, and the oil tree. I will set in the desert the fir tree and the pine and the box tree together, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord hath done this, and the Holy One of Israel hath created it. And so John was called and sent by the Lord to preach in the wilderness. The wilderness will be a fruitful field. The desert shall rejoice, are the prophecies of Isaiah. And what was John preaching? That's verse 2. And saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's a summary of what John was preaching in the wilderness. We look in the other gospels, we can see other things specifically that more specifically that John was preaching. But here's a summary of what he was preaching. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repentance is what he was preaching. And so, it is that John preached about sin. John preached sin. Why? For the kingdom of God's grace was offered in the gospel. And it was now ready to be received by those who repent. John preached sin. If he was preaching repentance, then he was preaching sin. Because if one is to repent, they must repent of what? Of their sin. And from their sin, turn from it unto the Lord. The turning from and repentance must be from sin, which implies there is sin to be dealt with. And sin was therefore preached. And preaching repentance, he preached sin. And not just about sin, but preaching sin. And we'll see an example of that next Lord's Day, Lord willing, there in verse 7. Before anyone can enter the kingdom of heaven, there must be repentance. Because there is in you, in each one of us, there is in you sin. And therefore, because you are in sin, you are of yourself. You are dead in your sins and trespasses, Ephesians 2 says. The wages of sin is death. You're unworthy to stand before a holy and righteous God. We are, beloved, of ourselves, naturally dead. As we prayed, we're blind, we're lost, we're asleep in spiritual things. Our soul, dead. And in the church, we are ready to be content with a mere outward and formal religion and to flatter ourselves thinking if we go to church, we'll be saved. But that's not the message of the gospel, is it? John preaches here the message of the gospel. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And this is no different than the message that Jesus preached. Jesus said, I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. The gospel begins with the message that you are a sinner and you must turn from your sin. You must repent or you will all perish forever. Gospel preaching must be preaching of sin and repentance. Or more specifically, the preaching sin and repentance. Lest you perish forever and ever. If there is no mention of sin, if there is no repentance, it is not gospel preaching. And if you're going to a church like that, then you ought to leave it. Because it is not a church at all. If they're not preaching the gospel, it's not a church. And what this shows us even more as John comes in preparing the way of the Lord, verse 3, is that the Lord is in a special way ready. He's ready to receive the penitent. That is, He's ready to receive those who are repenting of their sins. He's ready to receive the sinner who hates his sin and who loves the Lord in Christ. Ready to receive those who turn from their sin to the Lord in Christ. The sending of the preacher John is a testimony to this fact. Remember our catechism that repentance is not just repentance, is it? It's a different term than just repentance. It's repentance unto life. Repentance unto life. Repentance unto life is a saving grace whereby a sinner, out of a true sense of his sin and apprehension of the mercy of God in Christ, doth with grief and hatred of his sin turn from it unto God with full purpose of and endeavor after new obedience. The end of the gospel preaching. The end of gospel preaching is to persuade men and women and children to repentance. To turn from their sin and turn to the Lord in Christ for their life. Repentance unto life. That the only hope for a sinner is found in Jesus Christ and His death and life offered to the sinner freely. And yet it's not theirs unless they turn from their sin. Unless there is repentance. And repentance from their sin is a main aspect of John's preaching in preparing the way for the Lord Jesus Christ. And why should they repent? Why repent? It says, why? Or he preaches why? For. Because. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Often you see throughout the Old Testament the call for the people of God, the nations even, to repent so that the Lord would show forth temporal national mercies and remove those same temporal judgments that had been toward them. But now the reason here is purely gospel. This doesn't do away with the need for national or corporate repentance. And yet, of course, there's a greater emphasis in preparing for Christ's coming. That you must repent because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The gospel time of the covenant of grace, the opening up of the kingdom of heaven to all believers by the death and resurrection of Jesus. The message is here to be all the more clear. The mystery is revealed. And it's the kingdom of which Christ, the mediatorial king, and we must be His loyal subjects and citizens. It's not a kingdom of this world, but of heaven. And so it's a spiritual kingdom. And so we see that all the hearers of John, all hearers of biblical preachers are being called to be restored to life and a blessed life. That if you want true and everlasting happiness and blessing, then you must repent of your sins. It's the only way. You're being called to be gathered unto God and to live under His kingdom in Christ, Christ's kingdom. And with repentance, beloved, this means that the accomplishing of your salvation by your repentance, this repentance unto life, is accomplished by the Lord's forgiving you of your sin and adopting you into His family. And it's through these saving graces of the Lord that one who is a sinner is reconciled to the living and true God and is made worthy in Jesus Christ alone to be an heir and a recipient of glory. Why repent? Because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's at hand then. Today, we would say something different. It is come. It's not close to coming. It's not close to being here, as John is basically saying. But today, it's here. It's not at hand now. It's here. And if John's day was the call was repent for the kingdom of God, heaven is at hand, then how much more should you repent today? How much more should you repent today of your sins against our merciful God? For the kingdom of heaven has come. And it's here. For the Spirit has been poured out in such an extraordinary way now. As we see in the book of Acts. Meditate, beloved, on the grace of God and all of that. What greater persuasion can you receive in the call to repent besides the very grace and mercy of God towards sinners, of which He promises and He commands and says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. And He, the Lord, will have mercy upon him and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. You abundantly forgive. What a greater encouragement than that. The very promise of God. He will abundantly pardon. What greater encouragement is there to repent of our sins than I will abundantly pardon your sins. You see, the very core and foundation of repentance is the mercy of God. That's not a work of man. It's not a work of you, but it's of God's grace. Repentance unto life is a saving grace. It's given to you by our God. And so come now and repent. He's calling you to it. He will grant it to you if you repent. Repent. Why? For the kingdom of heaven is near. But even more so, is here, and so repent. And it is by the graces of preaching that the Lord gives, and the power of the gospel, that both the ability to repent and the actual repenting is brought about by God's graces. And so John comes preaching not in Jerusalem, but in the wilderness, as called by God, and preaching, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And what glorious news this is, for it comes in fulfillment of Isaiah 40. Not only what John was preaching, but so too John the Baptist himself is a fulfillment of Isaiah 40. Both John and his message of repentance fulfills it. First we'll read verse 3 and 4, and then we'll read Isaiah 40. It says in verse 3, for this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. And Isaiah 40, which referred to there in verse 3, Isaiah 40 says, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. And then if we look at the parallel passage in Luke's Gospel, as a little bit more than Matthew and Luke chapter 3, it says, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Through the preaching of repentance, all flesh, it says, Jews and Gentiles shall see the salvation of our God. And who is the one crying in the wilderness? Notice how preaching is described there. Crying. Not tears crying, although tears might be in the crying, but proclaiming loudly crying. Openly and publicly with great eagerness and fervency and zeal. That's preaching. Right? That's preaching. Crying. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. The preacher who is quiet. The preacher really who absolutely requires a microphone is not preaching. Because a preacher preaches. Proclaims. Like a herald on behalf of the king. The message from the king. John's preaching was crying. Of preparing the way of the Lord. Preparing for Jesus Christ's ministry and glory. His message was prepare yourselves for Christ, for Him, for Jesus. Prepare yourselves for the Messiah's coming. And repent. And make room for Christ. Make room for Christ. Today you must make room for Christ. That's the message of Isaiah 40 that we just read. Make his path straight. That's what that means. Make room for him. We're everywhere, everyone around us in is taking Christ out of things. Taking Christ out of schools. Taking Christ out of the government. Taking Christ out of our prayers. Taking Christ out of the church. Taking Christ out of preaching. Out of the gospel. Making it no gospel at all. What John was preaching is what we must do today. This preacher who fulfills verse 4, another prophecy about this voice who cries in the wilderness, John the Baptist, like the prophet Elijah. And they answered him, he was a hairy man and girt with a girdle of leather about his loins. And he said, it is Elijah the Tishbite. John the Baptist, the last prophet after Elijah. Before Christ. What must we do today? The Lord through John is calling. We must make room for Christ in the churches. We must make room for Christ in our hearts. For we have completely erased Him. But now merely His name appears and there, and therefore it sounds good, right? We say, well, Jesus. We hear preaching that says the name Jesus, but Jesus is not preached. But He must fill up everything and everything for Christ. Psalm 24 says, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, He is the King of glory. We have to make room for Christ. We have to open up the gates of our hearts and let the King to reign and rule. And the King is Jesus. Now we must make room for the coming of Christ. That's what John's preaching here. We must make room for the coming of Christ. Well, today we must make room for the coming of Christ and the preaching of the Word to our hearts. We must not fill up our hearts with other things so much so that when the preaching of Christ comes that our hearts are so full it can't take anymore. There's no room. We must make room in our hearts. And to do so, we must repent of our sins by His grace. And turn from the world and its ways. And quit filling ourselves up with the world and its ways. And open up our hearts to Christ for Him to come in and dwell among us, His people. To be who He is, Emmanuel, God with us. And to do this, we have to come humbly and bowing our hearts to receive the Son of David, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And again, what is the duty of the preacher? We see it there in verse 3. Crying, proclaiming what? Who? Proclaiming himself? Proclaiming great wisdom and pontifications and all these things? No. The calling and authority of a preacher is that he take no honor to himself. He cannot glorify himself. But is called to proclaim God's Word alone. Here John is called to proclaim Isaiah the prophet and proclaim the Word of the Lord. To proclaim, very specifically, Jesus Christ, the Gospel. The preacher, so called to preach, must labor so that all his hearers, that their hearts be prepared more and more to receive Jesus Christ. The called preacher and ordained preacher must not keep silent, cannot keep silent. He's a messenger for the king, but in the wilderness, in the city, wherever he is called to, before hearers, he is to be plain. Plain preaching. Not high academic, obscure preaching, though not devoid of true doctrine, but plain and simple so that the child can understand. And the adult can understand. Plain preaching with passion, passionately calling sinners to repentance while proclaiming the only and all-powerful gospel that can alone save sinners. Preaching God's Word and keeping back nothing of the Lord's Word from them. Many do that today. They preach, some preach God's Word, but they also keep the Lord's Word from people. Preachers cannot do that because they cannot fear what man can do to them. And that's all wrapped up in John's crying. And to summarize John's message and every preacher's, it is repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand or near or here. And so, sinner, the time is now to come. There is no better time than today to come unto the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ from your sins, to turn from your sins to Him who He who saves and forgives according to all His sufficient grace. He abundantly pardons. That's His promise. And so come unto Him who is the King and submit. But so too, come unto Him as your mediator, one who intercedes. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. Hear him and repent of your sins, coming to a loving and gracious and merciful God in Jesus Christ alone. That is our only hope. Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful for your servant, John the Baptist, which teaches us, or who teaches us many things, you through him. We're thankful for the gospel. That in the act of repentance, there must be faith. And so, Father, we believe and we plead that you would help our unbelief. We believe that Jesus Christ lived a perfect, righteous life and yet undeservedly died on the cross for our sins, was buried and rose from the dead on the third day, who is now exalted as the King of kings and Lord of lords, and our mediator, our Savior. And so there's no better time, Father, that we come today, whether a Christian or not, there's no better time than today, as your kingdom has come, that we would repent and turn from our sins unto the living and true God in Christ your Son. Work this in us by your Spirit and shower us with your saving graces. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.